I am here at the Freedom to Connect conference with Dwayne Hendricks from the Danden Group. And Dwayne, you've been also helping out here with Freedom to Connect, helping to make sure everything goes smoothly. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
I was interested to ask you about the Danden Group and the work you're doing right now.
Where to start? Danden Group's been around since 1998. The company was formed to go after an opportunity that presented itself to establish a base in the Kingdom of Tonga in the South Pacific. Tonga's a monarchy. It's about 170 islands stretched across 400 miles of the South Pacific. Seven of the islands are occupied, and the main island, Tonga Tapu, contains about two-thirds of the population, total population being about 110,000 people. So Danden is a licensed common carrier there and providing services using wireless technology.
You and your organization are involved with some wireless projects here in the States as well. In New Mexico, were you mentioning yesterday?
Right. We're a wireless ISP in the Bay Area, so we've been doing that for a while also. And the big project that we have right now, it's called Danden Group because we do a number of things. So we're a service provider, common carrier, consulting, and then in this case for the project in New Mexico, we're putting a wireless cloud over a county there. It's Sandoval County, which is a county between Albuquerque and Santa Fe, and the county is about 3,700 square miles, which is just a bit smaller than the state of Connecticut.
You presented yesterday for day one of Freedom to Connect. Just to recap, what would you say would be the most important thing that you'd have people take away from this conference?
Okay. As a wireless service provider, my company is one of like 6,000, and that 6,000 number comes from the FCC by a census they did last June. We offer internet service in both urban and rural areas of the United States. So 6,000, that's a large number. Unfortunately, no one's aware that we exist. To coin Rodney Dangerfield, we don't get any respect. Okay, and that's unfortunate because we're a alternative to the duopoly. Okay, and I think a quite viable alternative. And to us, network neutrality is a given. Okay, that's what we do. So we basically, like in our case, we connect directly to the Tier 1 backbone. So we're bypassing the first mile. The telcos like to call it the last mile, but we call it the first mile. And go right to the backbone, where once you're on the backbone, it's just packets. You know, that's it. It's a commodity, okay? And we give our customers routable IP addresses, real IP addresses, rather than what you get from the cable co or telcos. And we give them symmetry in that the downstream equals the upstream. And we give them lots of bandwidth in that 20 megabits is the minimum we do. So what you find is that applications, some applications like peer-to-peer applications run quite differently in those types of networks than what you get from the cable co or telco. Let me give you one example. Skype. Skype is a peer-to-peer application that quite a number of people use, but what they're probably not aware of is that Skype has some algorithms that it uses to monitor how much bandwidth is available, and if it determines that you have a lot of bandwidth available, both upstream and downstream, it turns your system into what's called a supernode, which means it'll start routing traffic for a lot of adjacent Skype peers. Okay. So depending on how much bandwidth you have available, you could essentially be generating a lot of traffic. Okay. Now, it makes a determination whether or not you're between NAT or native address translation, so that if you're behind NAT, it doesn't turn you into a supernode. So as a consequence, people on cable co and telco networks, since they're behind NAT most of the time, you know, they never become supernodes. So those providers never see the kind of traffic that I do, where at any one time, say, two or three of my customers might be supernodes for Skype. Okay? So my traffic just hits the wall. You know, essentially, it can take all the available upstream and downstream that I have. Okay? And that's just one example. I could get into BitTorrent, and, you know, there's differences there.
How would you then say or represent the biggest threat to your company in the future?
The biggest threat to us, there's two. IPv4 addresses. It's very difficult. We to give our customers real IP addresses, or what are called routable static addresses, they're hard to come by. They're sort of being hoarded by the incumbents. Okay, and you have to essentially go to war to get them. All right, so that's one limit to growth of that.
How long does that take to go through that process or to get those addresses?
It depends. It depends, and how hard you want to push. Sometimes they want you to pay for them. You know, it's very difficult. Okay, and the bigger you get, the more difficult it is to get them. All right, so that's the one, and IPv6. Changes that, and that we also, you know, are an IPv6 provider, but IPv6 in this country is sort of like where the internet was back in 1995 when we made the transition from NSFnet to the commercial internet. So there's a lot of growth that has to happen before that address space gets to be interesting. All right. The other challenge we face is the cost per megabit. Okay. We, like I said, we give our customers a minimum of 20 megabits, but like in the Bay Area, tier one access to the internet costs between $8 and $30 a megabit per month, depending on your commitment level. Our current commitment level puts us in at $29 per megabit per month. Okay, so you can do the math, and you can figure out we're giving people 20 megabits and trying to put a profit margin in there. You know, people are going to have to pay a lot of money for that. Okay, much more than they pay to a cable or telco. But the difference is they're getting a real megabit, okay, which is not the case of what you're getting.
Ideally, this is going to impact your customers, not only your business, but your customers as well.
Exactly. So we don't do residences as a rule. We do businesses. The businesses realize the value of what they're getting in terms of a real megabit, and they're willing to pay for it, okay? So, you know, it's nice that there's a lot of business customers. In the Bay Area, there's about 50 wireless ISPs, and we're all competing against each other, okay?
So, would you say that competition is good then in this case?
Oh, exactly. It's good. And I have no problems with competition, you know. I deliver a better product, and then you have to distinguish yourself based on bandwidth. And so I'm using the latest wireless technology to be able to deliver more megabits per customer than my competitors. Okay.
What have you heard during the conference that you would say have been put forth as, or has there been anything that's resonated with you personally?
Okay, let me try to answer it this way. There was a recent movie where Johnny Depp played a character where he asked this villain type, he says, "Look, what are you, a Mexican or a Mexicant?" All right? So what I heard yesterday was a bunch of Mexicants, okay? So, and I actually got some traffic from some people that are listening to the conference remotely, and it was like the morning was okay, but then the afternoon was all, you know, just very gloom and doom, all right, the Mexicans. And that's unfortunate. What I don't see here at this conference is a lot of positive plans for moving forward. You know, it's basically we're fucked is what I get here from the people. And it's unfortunate. It's like this is the top-end digerati here, and people should be willing to storm the Bastille. You know, they should be willing to lie on train tracks. But I don't need to see that passion here. I just don't. Okay, and that's unfortunate.
There are already some organizations like Free Press, Common Cause, others that have taken on different campaigns to raise awareness in communities about the issue of network neutrality. Do you see this idea moving forward as a positive one, as one that could gain momentum? And, you know, if the right education, if the right way to talk about it, framing the issue, do you think this could be successful at a grassroots level?
At a grassroots level, it could be. It is, like this project I'm doing in Sandoval County. The county itself, you know, decided to do this, and that they put out an RFP in September 2004, asking for somebody to come and figure out how to give them a system, a telecom infrastructure, that would be better than any cable co or telco system in the country. Okay, that was their vision. And we basically were able to respond and show them a way that you could do that with wireless and deliver 100 megabits to cover that 3,700 square mile county. So I think, and I'm encouraged when I go there, because it's like going to the Twilight Zone. It's like, who are these people? You know, where did they come from? All right. But if you look at the municipal wireless or broadband movement around the country, there's a lot of people out there now. And it's like what I see, they don't care about the state government or the federal government. It's like they've decided we're going to take things into our own hands and fix it. You know, the common theme you get is economic development. That's why they're doing this. And these are not technical people. They're not geeks. They're just regular politicians, whatever, you know. And they sort of have found out that this broadband stuff can work. And so that sort of lowers the risk in their mind. And they say, okay, we think this will work. How do we get it done, you know? And so I think that's, to me, very positive, because that's the American, that's the old American barn building spirit, you know, where people would group together and help their neighbor build a barn, and they do it in a day, and then they all go home and, you know, get drunk, and that would, you know, and that's what we need here, you know, for broadband, okay? But the digerati hasn't seemed to figure that out, while these, you know, politicians and stuff, they have, and that's very interesting.
So maybe there's a lot to learn from a lot of the grassroots efforts then, mini wireless projects ongoing across the country.
Yeah, it's like, forget about the digerati. They're too busy playing with themselves or something, you know? Go to these grassroots people and find out, you know, why they're doing what they're doing, and help them, you know, to be successful.
Dwayne Hendricks, thanks very much.
Thank you.